All right, open your Bibles to Romans 12. Going to be there for the rest of the weekend. And this morning, we're going to talk about worship. Okay, worship. We're going to talk about what it is, and we're going to talk about how we are really not good at it. Including the band. Kidding. You'll see why in a second. Last night we talked that everything we do is based on whether God did something in us first. And we had this one sentence. If you were taking notes, you should have this written down. We said that the church is community of people changed by God. This is how we started, and we're gonna add to it as we go. It's a community of people changed by God. And today we're gonna learn that without God working in us, worship is impossible too. And we have to say this because a lot of us think that worship is just like singing songs, clapping hands, and doing whatever, some kind of activity. And to a certain degree it is, but what makes worship worship? Is it just that we have a song, I Love You Baby, and we change it to I Love You Jesus, and now it's a worship song? Do we worship? No. Romans 12. This is the first verse. I read it yesterday. I'm going to read it again. Paul says, Apostle Paul says to the church in Rome, he says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or reasonable worship, some of your translation may say. So the first question of the text is this. And think about this. What gets you to church? Think about this. What gets you to church? And there are different answers to this one. I wrote a couple down. So what gets you to church? First one, my mama drags me. Right? Some of you, amen. You're there because of your parents. You wouldn't be there if your parents wouldn't drive you and force you to go. For some of you, I was blackmailed. If you're not going to this retreat, no allowance. No games. Okay, that might be a reason. Some of us are here because you were tricked by Christians. That's what happens. Come to this event. That'll be totally cool. The band is awesome. And then you learn it's a Christian event. And you were tricked. That's what Christians do. They trick people. That's what happened to me. They say, come to this English camp. It's going to be awesome. They didn't tell me it's Christian. Some of you here because you have friends here. That's cool. You know, you'll have fun. It's better than sitting at home. Some of you here because you don't have friends anywhere else. You know, I like this girl there. That's why you go. And Apostle Paul starts this passage in Romans 12 about worship. And he says, he doesn't really say, hey, if you live for God, you're going to get cookies. He doesn't say, if you live for God, you're going to get mom off your back. He says, you know, it's probably true that if you're going to go to church, you're probably going to get some cookies. You know, you're going to get mom off your back. Probably going to meet a cute girl or guy. But it's not the driving force for Christians to live for God, is it? And if it is, listen to me, if it is, it might be funny, but some of you, this is true for you. If it is the driving force with which you live for God, it'll be short-lived. You'll not be Christian for very, very long. And Apostle Paul starts, there is something else that drives us to live for God. To live for God if we are Christians. And surprisingly, it's the same thing that changed our life, okay? He says, mercy. He says, I appeal to you by the mercy of God, live out this Christian life. By mercy of God. He's pleading with them by the mercies of God. He doesn't say in verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the cuteness of the girls in church, be Christians. It's awesome. It's by the mercies of God. And you know, we can get that the conversion is by grace. You know, grace, 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 we got grace. But how is the Christian life grace? Isn't conversion the thing we get for free and then you have to work really, really hard, like sleep through sermons like that guy there? Or, you know, if you became a Christian, if God gave you a new heart, if He changed you, we said He not just changed you from something, but to something. He didn't change you from your terrible life, but for a better life. And saying living for God is some kind of obligation now. You know, I have to do, like, yeah, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to do all these things. It's like saying this. You guys like football, right? For some reason. And not the real football. You know, the one with the weirdly shaped egg ball thing. And so you watch, let's say you're the biggest fan, okay? Let's say you're the biggest fan of football, you watch every game, you bother your friends on Facebook with ridiculous posts about your team, and what if one day you meet an owner, you meet the owner of the Viking Stadium, okay? You meet him at Taco Bell because that's the only thing you can afford and he likes it for some reason. And he gives you a ticket to the game. He says, here's the ticket. You can sit by the team on the bench. And you're the biggest football fan. Well, what do we... And you would say, but I have to do all these things, like wear the jersey and sing the anthem, school, and get the high fives from the player. I don't know if I'm going to do this. That is ridiculous. You would do it. So some of you say, you know, yeah, I'm Christian, but I don't know. I don't want to do all these things. That's like saying that. It's like I really question: did you meet God? Did He offer you the everlasting life? And now you're like, I don't want to do these things. You really meet God. The thing is, we love to worship. Everyone does. Not just Christians. Everybody loves it. And you need to know this, because worship has just somehow became this hijacked Christian word for songs. It's not. We love to love things. Bands, sports, whatever. All of us in this room will end up giving our lives to something. It's just the truth of life. And that's called worship. We will give our life to people, money, ourselves, whatever. We love to worship. We bother people on Facebook with things we worship. And God showed up. He said, God showed up and changed our hearts by showing us the most awesomest, is that a word? Awesomest thing to worship. There's nothing like it. There's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more lovely. There's nothing more famous. He showed us Himself. If you find something that's more beautiful, more lovely than God, then that's God. He gave us a heart to love Him. And now He says, look, it's me. We can really live now when we see Him. We can really see what's life about. And we can do this by His mercy that changes us from seeking love and acceptance from other people. And that's the thing that drives us, His incredible mercy with us. And then Paul goes on to describe what worship is, because like us, a lot of people were confused about it. He says, okay, I appeal to you, brothers, how? By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and now listen, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Big words. What do they mean? What it means is that worship is everything. Present your bodies is to present your whole self to God, so He can do whatever He wants with it. Worship is not only when we sing, not only when we highlight a verse, not only when we go to mission trip. We worship in every single thing we do. And that sounds impossible, doesn't it? Exactly. It is impossible. The way we deal with our finances, the way we deal with our time, shows what we worship. The state of our heart in everything shows what we worship. And it's impossible to think we can do this without His grace. So, let's ask this. Should we think God is awesome every time we eat a peanut, for example? Well, that'd be good, but not necessarily. And this is when you, this is if you're writing notes, I want you to write this sentence. We do what God commands out of a sincere desire to live for Him. Okay? We do what God commands out of a sincere desire to live for Him. And I'll say something right now that will probably surprise you. And before you charge me with heresy, think about it. We don't have to feel all jolly clappy when we sing songs. Okay? You don't have to feel all jolly clappy and super excited when you sing songs. You don't have to feel super excited every time you read your Bible. We don't have to feel super spiritual when we pray. We do things God asks us to do because we love Him. You know, I'll give you an example. So let's say it's a Valentine's Day, okay? And I'm taking my wife, Lida, for lunch. Okay, I'm going to dress up. She's going to dress up. I'm going to comb my beard. It'll be nice. And we're going to go to this nice restaurant. And let's say Lida's favorite thing is chocolate. But my favorite thing is smoked beef, right? And I'll bring her a present. And I'll come to her and say, yeah, I know you really like chocolate, but look what I bring. Beef jerky. You know, I don't have to be super excited about chocolate. But I'm super excited about the girl who likes chocolate. And I also don't have to be super excited about singing. You know, I like computers and Star Wars. I would like to see a service that like somehow includes both. That'd be exciting for me. But I don't have to be super excited about singing, but I'm super excited about God who loves people that sing to Him. I really like Him. We want to serve God in ways He likes. That's what it means to live acceptable to Him. So this is what you're going to write down next. I am living according to what He said He likes, and by that learning to like it too, and realizing it's freeing. Okay, it's a hard sentence, and we're going to talk about it more on Sunday morning. But I'll read it again. I'm living according to what He said He likes. And by that, I'm learning to like it too. And I'm realizing it's freeing. It's a hard concept. More of that on Sunday morning. It is the offering of your life as it would be God's, not yours, in a way that it's pleasing to Him. Physical is always a reflection of the spiritual, okay? So, going to church building, singing, raising our hands, etc., it's always a reflection of your heart. And if it's not, it becomes a hypocrisy. Right? That's what Jesus said to Pharisees. You know, you worship me with your mouth, but your heart is far. God doesn't care if you say He's awesome and you don't believe it. Like, girls, would you be super flattered if a guy would come to you and said, you're pretty, but I don't think so. That'd be dumb. I mean, what do you mean? It's like, maybe God, hearing you sing, is saying to Him, what does He mean? He doesn't love me. Why is He singing about loving me? Physical should always be a reflection of spiritual. Okay, why worship, living for God, is hard? Why is it hard? Because people around us don't love God very much, right? You don't, maybe not in this room, but in general, culture is filled with options of what to worship. So many things, money, sex, pleasure, sports, whatever. I typed, so this is what I did. I went online and I typed, I wanted to see what's America's biggest thing to worship. So I Googled. I Googled American Idol. And it's a TV show. But that's it, isn't it? Fame. Being somebody. Being appreciated. Living the dream. Achieve something. And if you have something, if you're rich or good at sports or a great singer, people will appreciate you. They will think you're awesome. They will think you're somebody. And this is everywhere. People telling us that this is the most important thing for us, and we are starting to believe it. We dress so we impress. We talk so people don't think we're dumb. This is life driven by being accepted. But what we learn about beginning, what is our life in God right now? What is it driven by? Our life doesn't have to be driven by seeking approval and acceptance, but it can be driven by the fact that we already have it. Okay. God already loves you in Christ, and that's so different from the world. That's so different, so we love Him back. That's what the Bible says. We know what's love only because God loved us first. And this transforms you actually. He doesn't wait for you to change, but He loves you when you were dead in sin, and He loves you now. He loves you when you're not pretty. He loves you when you're dumb. He loves you when you're not cool. He loves you when you fail. You know, girls, God loves you even though He knows how you look when you wake up. It's the truth. Oh, come on. And that drives us, this love that's unconditional, drives us to love Him back and love people the same way. We love people when they're not cool. We love people when they're not pretty. We love people when they fail. Because we are loved the same way. That transforms us by the way He deals with us. That's why Paul can say this in verse 2. He can say, do not be conformed to this world. You know, it's hard. You're living in this world. That world wants to conform you. That world wants to disciple you. We're talking about being disciples. You're going to be disciples either way. It's either Jesus or something else. And Paul says, you know, living in this world, it's hard. It has a lot of temptations. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I say, isn't this life freeing? Because you don't have to act cool to be someone. You're chosen of God. Regardless, you don't have to be smart because you're a fool in Christ, who is the wisdom of God. You know, you can be dumb. Yes, some of you guys, that's good news for you. You don't have to be pretty and thin. You're perfect in His sight because He looks at you through Christ. His grace is what drives us to live for Him. Anything else can do it. His grace is what drives us to our worship that is living for Him in ways that are pleasing to Him. You can fail because His mercy is what drives you. You get it? Not acceptance. He's so great, you guys. I want to learn how to love Him more. I want to live with other people who do that too. And we will talk about it tonight. So let me end with this. I want to be transformed by what He's doing in me so I know His will. This is what worship is. It is a sincere desire to live for Him because we see vanity and meaningless in everything else. It is a sincere desire to live for Him because I see vanity and meaningless in everything else. And that's why we're going to sing, because He likes it and we like Him. Community. So this is the sentence, and we're going to add more. Church is a community of people changed by God. And we're going to add, living for Him in the ways He likes. Okay? Let me pray. God, we are grateful for Your grace that doesn't only change us, but only also gives us power to live for You, because the lives as Christians are not driven by acceptance, but by the fact that we already got it. We're already perfect in the ways that You see us through Christ. We're already accepted, not because of our works, but because of the work of Christ. And I ask You to teach us how to live for You in the ways You like. And show us that that is the free life that we can live. And maybe we're gonna sing a song. And maybe some of us should just shut up and not sing. And think about the words. If we really, it's the state of our hearts. So please, Lord, convict us by the words of the following song. Help us rejoice, those of us who are Christians, and help us repent, those of us who are not Christians. Amen.